Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
It's good to have you on board here on a Football Friday. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard live in downtown Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Busy hour coming up. We're going to get to our best bets. We'll run down more of the wild card action that we have. Let's kick off the hour with Ryan Kramer, who joins the program, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Show, which you can get wherever you listen to your podcast. It's also on VSiN on Friday nights beginning at 7 o'clock Pacific, 10 o'clock Eastern time. They're going to be on the air for probably a majority of the second half tonight for Indiana and Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's do this, though. Let's begin with all the bets because you have so many to get to in the NFL. The early game that we have tomorrow, Rams and the Panthers. Your favorite prop bet on that game is a rushing prop, Kyren Williams, yeah?
100%. They've been saying they're saving Kyren Williams for the postseason for weeks now. And I thought about firing the attempts, failed with the Riley Leonard last week when I came on here, but the yards worked. And so I'm just going to stick with the Kyren Williams yardage, 64.5 in pocket. It's a great matchup. I took the points with the Panthers on the historic angle, but I think Kyren Williams having a big game, 100 yards, couple touchdowns, in either way that it goes. I mean, you remember Blake Corum and Kyren Williams found the end zone last time. So we're going 64.5 yards over. I think he only needs 12, 13 carries. I think he needed 13 carries to get over last game. So probably only needs the same. And I think they're only going to lean on him more this week.
I like it. I also like Caleb Williams over rushing yards.
Yep, me too.
Yep, he'll take off and run.
And it sounds like there are, at least like whatever you call them, reports coming out of Chicago that the game plan is for Caleb to do what he needs to do. So I certainly got to have a game. You'll hear me say that a lot. Love the rushing yards for quarterbacks generally. And, yeah, got to take – Caleb's probably a lateral guy because if it gets – if it starts going, the idea he ends up with 50, 60 yards makes a lot of sense to
me. Okay.
Yeah, I haven't even looked at it, your first touchdown scores. We'll get to those. But I'm guessing Caleb's on your list, right?
Caleb is on the list. And honestly, it's funny. I sent Luke such a long list of props. I was like, you know, we can get to whatever we want to get to. But knew we would get to the first touchdowns. Doing something different this week, though. Because...
I don't like the sounds of this.
Well, I do this sometimes in the postseason. A lot of it's the way that I parlay the first touchdowns together. But Caleb at 19-1 is an auto play. As long as he's playing, if you're getting more than 10-1, I'm always going to play him. Cole Kmet kind of falls the backup tight end role. Everyone's on Loveland this week.
Everybody loves
Everyone's
him.
Talking about how he's going to be the pressure valve. He's going to be the go-to. So 28-1 on Kmet. And then I'm going a little heavier on the Packers side with Josh Jacobs. Love the matchup. Love the weather. I know you guys have been focused on what this game could be. And for that reason, Jacobs is 6-1. I'm also going to put a small percentage of my first touchdown bets on this game on no touchdown. I was shocked to see that it's 200-1 here at the Circa. I look at these prices every week, 60-1, 80-1, not 200-1, not in a game where we're going to have what they call impactful crosswinds reaching 30, 35 miles an hour. It's going to be cold. There might be some wetness. So I think of all the playoff games, love the no touchdown bet here at 200-1. Small little pizza bet, as you guys call it.
All right.
Got it. So, and then if you want me to jump over to the next game, again, kind of doing some of the same stuff. I'm concentrating a little bit with a half unit on Kyren Williams. Again, I see a lot of versions where they lean on him heavily in this game. Then I'm running back the same thing we talked about last week. Bryce Young now up to 32-1. And Tommy Tremble, he was the first touchdown for the Panthers last week. He's 30-1. I think people are a little confused at how they're going to distribute the ball. And they're a massive dog. You always get great prices on big dogs in the first touchdown market. So quarter unit on Tremble and Young, half unit on Williams at 6-1.
Were you surprised to see how high, the guy's awesome, led the league in rushing yards, but how high James Cook's rushing yards prop was tonight or Sunday?
Yeah, they're playing the Jags. The Jags are quietly the team you don't want to play your running backs against. Under 8.5, 80.5, 79.5. I play this all the way to 75.5. I mean, I think the idea that the Jags' defensive identity, who, if you haven't gotten a chance to see fine Italian-American Campanelli addressing the troops, they stop the run first. And, you know, this ties into some of the nice leader bets I have. But I love for James Cook to not have a good game on the ground. Now, through the air, maybe there's an opportunity there, but I think they shut him down on the ground. And Opta.ai clearly agrees. I mean, a massively low projection.
No doubt.
Compared to the number.
And no running back has rushed for more than 75 yards the entire year against Jacksonville. I know that you're super high in the Jags. I've been saying all week, like, I like the game so much, it scares me to death.
What scares me is how many people on this network are giving out teasers on the Jags. Yep. Scares me how many people are just saying they love this Jags team. Hey, there's plenty of room on the Jag wagon, but I'm a little concerned about the tire pressure. We got a lot of people riding on it. I'm still on it, though. I'm push all the chips in the middle of the table on this Jags. And it kind of ties into a playoff leader bet that I love, and it's Josh Allen to lead the weekend in passing yards. I think plus 950 is available at the Circa right now. If they fall behind in this game, we've seen it before, then he's got to start chucking the ball around a little bit. And I love stacking my leader bets. And so instead of taking one of the receivers, which is probably the more intelligent method, James Cook is 400-1. We've seen James Cook have some nice receiving games if there's a little bit of garbage time. So 400-1 for James Cook to have the most receiving yards paired with Josh Allen, most passing yards for the weekend. At plus 950.
Now, that would be bonkers if it comes in or gets close to it anyway.
I just want to sweat. Give me an early screen pass for 40 yards.
Okay, I like this. You did the same thing with the Chargers. Now, Herbert, the Patriots don't have a pass rush, so the offensive line shouldn't be an issue here. Herbert should have all day to throw, and then let's team him up with Johnston, who can catch some long bombs.
And specifically, you look at DVOA, the Patriots, even though they have a bona fide stud corner, they're 31st against wide receiver ones. Quentin Johnston is the wide receiver one here. 55-1 is what I have in my pocket. I saw the price out at Circa is actually 65-1 now. Crazy. And yeah, pair it with the quarterback. I think the Herbert Quentin Johnston stack is probably a little bit more of a traditional handicap where I'm not necessarily needing the trail game script. I think it's just the natural way that you're going to attack this defense. And to your point on the pass rush, right? That's been the kryptonite for this Chargers team, and the Patriots are going to have to blitz to get him, and if they blitz, he's going to find the open man.
Okay, very good. So I have to bet this because I looked at Ladd and Quentin a little bit earlier today, and now in the last 10 minutes, Will Hill texted us and said he likes Ladd at his number, and now you're telling me Quentin Johnston, so...
And it's like you can even find – I think Keenan Allen's 100-1. I think Gadsden's 100. It just seems like this is a game that has the right ingredients to end up with a big passing number.
How are the Pats against a tight end?
Not as good as you'd like them to be. That's why I didn't end up on Gadsden.
Okay, fair enough. Now, I agree with the rushing leaders. Rams went crazy in the first game against Carolina. You know Williams get a lot of carries. And then Buffalo is, 28th against the run. So let's go NTN.
I'll start ETN because that price has actually come out. It's now there's 12-1s out there. I think, again, natural handicap also pairs well with my Josh Allen in a comeback state. But the idea that Travis Etienne, someone who hasn't put up big numbers this year, ends up with the biggest weekend because they're ahead and they have a great advantage on the ground here. Then Kyren Williams, again, pretty obvious. Like, this is more just leaning back into that. Well, the team has been saying they're going to use him in the playoffs. I'm going to take advantage of that. It's a good matchup. And, again, they're 11-point favorites. The idea that they're up in this game and they're pounding the rock down the stretch. And I don't think the Blake Corum split will be quite as 50-50 in the postseason.
Okay. Fair enough. Do you have any 2-touchdown bets yet?
I do not have any. I have chalk 2-touchdown bets. I have Josh Jacobs, Travis Etienne, Kyren Williams, and a little bit of a round robin.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't like to admit the chalky stuff. It's not on brand.
It's not on brand.
Yeah.
How about what the listeners are pushing at FanDuel and DraftKings? Will every team have a rushing touchdown, 125-1? That's right up your alley.
I love how much you love these bets. Every week, when going through the field goal and the rushing.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly, you look at the weather in these games. There's one good game, one game that's not going to have weather. Maybe a couple that don't have impactful weather. I mean, I certainly – this is the kind of thing where now that you've brought it up to me, I'm going to have to go put a little bit on.
You're damn right.
If it hits, it's going to be like, my goodness. I was given the advice and I ignored it.
Well, it doesn't seem hard, does it?
No. I'd say what will concern me is if you get to the end and it's Texans and Steelers. Uh-huh. And you got to sweat through a Texans-Steelers game to get those rushing touchdowns. But, yeah, that's the game that worries me. All the other games, you look at Niners-Eagles, you look at Packers-Bears – They're all going to get in the end zone on the ground. Pat's Chargers. So
How about a no touchdown scored parlay? Packers Bears game into Texans Steelers. that pays for a private island.
Now I have to do that again. Again, I like the first touch, and I'm going to be on that in the Bears game for sure. Yeah, I certainly tie it to the last game because that Steelers-Texans game is the game that I have the least good feeling on what's going to happen. I'm a diehard Tomlin as a dog guy, but I'm a little nervous.
Fair enough. Yeah. Again, but your favorite side of the week would be what?
Jags. Yes. Jags alt lines being played, Eagles alt lines being played.
Eagles alt lines. I like them. I never thought about that.
And actually, I didn't mention it, but Jalen Hurts is actually 8-1 on the 2 touchdown. We remember what he's done. And he's plus 115 on the anytime. He's scored in 4 of his 5 home playoff games on the ground. And he's also, I believe, scored 10 touchdowns in 9 playoff games. Granted, 2 of those were 3 touchdown games.
Yeah.
It's got to have a time.
You're going to be design stuff.
Yeah, very
absolutely.
Good.
I'm with you. Why do you like Purdy over rushing?
Because I think Purdy's going to have a tough time against that defense. Okay. And I think Purdy runs when he has to. Worth looking at is anytime, plus 360 again. It's a big number considering, fun fact, Eagles, number 2 in the NFL, giving up 7 rushing touchdowns to the quarterback, only behind the Cowboys.
7 overall. Okay. Well, is he going to be on the card for first?
Yes.
Has to be?
Yeah.
Jags, alt numbers, how high?
13.5.
13.5. What does that pay?
I think it was plus 380, plus 400, something like that.
You love this team.
Yeah. I mean, it's, 13-4 was my prediction before the season. I'm staying strong.
You have monster numbers on Cohen to win Coach of the Year?
I do.
How do you feel about
that
right
now? Him and Jackson Dart, I feel like at least I have a platform where I can push stats to the narrative. We'll see. Yeah. Fingers
Take
crossed.
Take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Do it. Right, man.
Silly
awesome
season.
Silly season.
It's silly on a weekly basis, which is great. Sports Gambling Podcast comes up tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern right here on VEASAN. You catch it all the time with him and Sean Green as well. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
This week.
Yeah. Good luck this weekend.
Yeah.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Thanks to Ryan Kramer joining the program. Love having him on. A lot of long shot bets for the wild card weekend. You can follow him on X, by the way, at KramerCentric. And if you miss any of the show today, by the way, you can always go back and listen to the Follow the Money podcast wherever you get your podcast. This is from Sammy on X. To add to your point on every team to score a rushing touchdown, a lot of these quarterbacks in the playoffs can get in the end zone on foot as well. Doesn't just have to be running backs.
Mm-hmm.
Have to throw some pizza money on it at 125-1.
Let's do it. Let's hear it. Like, come on. Everyone's got to do it.
Let's.
Okay. You're going to have FOMO if you. You're going to hate yourself if it comes in.
Well, now at this point, for
and
sure.
Everyone
you
making
are.
A case. I mean, a ton of people sending us those tickets.
Did you like the angle on Bears Packers no touchdown though? On the flip side, if the wind is really going to be that bad, the crosswinds, and maybe you get some really dicey weather.
Yeah, and what we saw that Saturday night game too. Which was 16-6.
Here are the...
Late.
So to Sammy's point on X about the running quarterbacks here, or the quarterbacks in general, who would surprise like nobody if they got into the end zone. Well, Stafford, he'd surprise us, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Bryce Young.
It'd have to be a sneak at the one.
Sure, that's the only way. Bryce Young, no surprise.
See, this is a good angle. It's playoff time now. That was essentially a playoff game last Sunday night. Guess what the old man did?
Yeah.
Took off for 20. Didn't even think he could move anymore.
Sure.
20-yard run.
Right.
It's got to happen.
When it mattered most, big time.
Everyone, you got to take off and do it.
He dug deep, my man.
That's right.
So Young could do it. Love could do it. Caleb, of course, can do it. My God, the Bills-Jags game, that should be...
Yeah.
You know what that is? That's a Josh... I should have brought this up to Ryan. That is a Josh Allen, Trevor Lawrence, 2 touchdown each, same game parlay kind of game. Both guys get into the end zone not once but twice. Purdy, for sure. Hurts, same thing. Herbert can move. May?
No doubt. I like both of them over their rushing yards and longest rush anyways.
Yeah, so just the Texans-Steelers game would be the dicey one, and that's what it's going to come down to potentially.
Yeah, Stroud's risky. Yeah. Stroud doesn't take off and run. But Rodgers had the one against Baltimore, though.
Yeah. DraftKings but now, by the way, a 1.5-point favorite on Jacksonville in the game.
You must play. What's that?
Okay. Jacksonville is now favored by 1.5 against Buffalo.
You have to come back and play Hayward anytime. You have to. We'll do more on it Monday. They love the tush-push with him now.
You might want to play it first as well.
Yes. He's gone from 12-1 to like 6-1 now anytime. You got to play that. I mean, they love to run that play. So that's one you got to look at too Monday night.
Mm-hmm. Is there a game? So I've said that a bunch about the Jags-Bills game. Is there a game that you have the same feeling on, that you love it a lot and it actually scares you how much you feel that way about it? Or not quite this round?
I'm not there, no. No, because you got low point spreads, and I'm not there on a side that I love this and I feel so good about it. I'm not there.
And I never thought about the alt point spread angle until he brought that up with Philadelphia. I mean, don't you just love Philadelphia to win the game?
I do not, no.
You don't?
No. I have a lot of respect for Shanahan and that organization. And I don't, even as bad as San Francisco's defense has looked and how bad they were against the Seattle team with their run defense, I don't see Philadelphia flipping the switch and all of a sudden Petullo and everyone, it's kumbaya. And it's, you know, spaghetti and meatballs for everyone. I don't believe it.
I think it could be.
There's too many bad comments coming out of there, too. And I'm telling you, they are animals. They're lunatics. I love them. They go 3-and-out back-to-back to start the game. The boo birds will be out, and they'll be all over them. They fall behind 7-0 as well. Then it's home field disadvantage. Then it's really on. And then the A.J. Brown pouting stuff can happen and all this. And Hurts comments about, I can only do what's called, and I can only run what's called. And okay.
I think this is a terrible matchup for the 49ers.
Well, you might be right, but
I love Shanahan. It has not gone well for him against Vic Fangio. That can be a thing as well.
But they can win a low-scoring game. Now, while Hurts has been great at home, and you mentioned the reference of December numbers, what is they're 13-1, December or later. It could be a key turnover here. I have a kicker I don't trust now in Elliott. I could win a 16-13 game. I don't have to Purdy go crazy and be Superman.
I certainly think we can get a low-scoring game here. I think we could have a carbon copy of what happened between the Niners and the Seahawks, because the Eagles are a similar team to me, right? When you compare them to Seattle, they have an equally strong defense. It might be better in some areas, actually. Seattle's defense is one of the best in football. The Eagles are right there with them. And maybe just the steam here in the 49ers offense comes to a screeching halt, and it is like a 14-3 game where Jalen Hurts in the offense, they don't have to do much at all.
See, there's a lot of stuff on both sides with these games, right? Where it's Chicago's 2-12 last 14 against the Packers. The luck factor with the Bears. All these wins, final 2 minutes, and the turnover differential. Then I have, Packers coming in back-to-back road games. That's only 34% last 20 years. And I have 4-game losing streak. That hasn't gone well either. I got strong New England stuff. I got strong Chargers stuff too. Hey, Buffalo was favored. Buffalo has Allen. Buffalo's lost 8 in a row on the road. Jacksonville's hot, but do you trust Lawrence? He hasn't turned it over. Maybe he has a couple boo-boos on Sunday. There's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, I do think that the numbers overall, and we have shared these a lot over the last couple of days, and that is, for example, quarterbacks starting in their first playoff game in the NFL and playing as a dog, 10-27 straight up. And when they take on teams and quarterbacks who have played before, it just hasn't gone well. It's like 20-40 ATS going back several years. I think that does mean something, where the numbers do not lie in the historical data. Is there telling you a story with these games? And that's why it's going to, like the whole Bryce Young thing, Caleb Williams, factor that in. Other factors as well. Maybe that's a thing with May against the Chargers overall and Herbert, that they there's no doubt. Now, it did not go well for them when they played Houston in the regular season a couple of weeks ago, but that stank that they still have on them from that playoff game last year, specifically Herbert, could be how do you sleep at night? You want to get that feeling wiped away as soon as possible, and now it's been terrible. A full year for them.
Yeah.
So here's the thing too.
Well, it's also like unprecedented. I mean, for a team to be a 2 seed and in the playoffs and you play this schedule, I mean, stats, numbers don't lie. It's the ninth easiest schedule since the merger.
Right, and here's what I can't. What Mike Sumich said earlier today, he's exactly spot on with, and I've said this a lot again, like I don't want this Philadelphia team in the Super Bowl. No offense if you're an Eagles fan. The Super Bowl, I want the two best teams in it. And by that, I mean the teams that have been playing the best football like the entire year, and maybe they will in January, but their offense has been unwatchable for 4 months. And even the biggest Eagles fan on the planet can admit that. Like, it's been broken pretty much the entire year, and I don't want that in the Super Bowl to close the season. But their path, like, I love the matchup against the 49ers. And beyond that...
Well, you're not the only one.
I think the path sets up, like, really well for this team to make a deep, deep run again this year.
Looks like they'll have Trent Williams, but won't have Pearsall. Latest with the Niners.
Well, the Pearsall thing, what does that even mean at this point? He's been out of the game so often this year, I can't even remember what he looks like when he plays.
Would you like them at home against the Rams?
I would. I would.
That's in play.
Now, maybe
in the
that's
divisional round.
Maybe that's me talking that has several huge futures on the Rams to win the Super Bowl, and I'd be a little bit scared of that team. But I also, like, as a Rams backer, am I eager to go play at Seattle? No. Like, their path is not easy. Yeah.
Are you disappointed that we're only going to get weather in one game? And it's crazy. All six games are outdoors.
It depends on how biblical the weather might be in Chicago. You're going to hear that word if it comes, if it turns into something crazy. Like if we get snow and we're going to get tons of wind and it's difficult, yeah, then that might be good enough.
Evan Abrams, six games outdoors, outdoor playoff games, wild card weekend since 2014, 68% to the under. When the total's 41 or higher, 42 and 14 to the under.
Yeah.
Ooh. Strong. I can't believe the Bills haven't won a road playoff game since 93.
Neither could I.
I mean, you're talking about, so if they lose Sunday, that's seven in a row. The Lions did it 91 to 2016. They lost 12 in a row. Bengals 1990 to 2015. The Chiefs 1993 to 2013. Ooh. And then, Green Bay, that's what's intriguing, too. Great games, so much drama, intrigue. What if Green Bay or Buffalo gets housed? Harbaugh, line one.
Oh, there was a big move today on Harbaugh to become the Giants' next head coach. Back in play.
You're kidding.
No.
You're kidding.
I haven't checked since before the show started,
no way. He's got to go to Miami.
Well, then bet against
him. ProfitX, number one sports prediction market. Some of the best future pricing you'll find on college football national championship and Super Bowl odds. Perfect time to get in and take advantage of their 20% purchase match. Check it out. Great menu. Everything you want. Download ProfitX today. Experience the future of winning. Promo code VEASAN to get started. Sign up offer. 20% match up to $100 in bonus cash.
All right, we're going to look back at what happened last night briefly and tie it into tonight's game in college football, because you're going to hear some audio that will blow your mind. And I have to ask, like, who talks and who thinks like this? Although I think I have an answer on it. That's next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We get the other college football semifinal game coming up tonight from Atlanta in the Peach Bowl. Indiana is a 3 or 3.5 point favorite against Oregon, and the total is up all the way as high as 50.5 at DraftKings. So there will be no SEC team winning, nor will they be playing in the national title game for three consecutive years.
And also, they went 1-8 in bowls against Power 4 teams.
Yeah, but Paul, it doesn't matter, right? The only games that matter would be the playoffs.
Another great call from Dan Wetzel, who in 2019, and as he tweeted earlier today, he got roasted for this article and take. He said, NIL is here. The same five teams are winning championships and going to the playoffs every year. It's boring. It's only five schools. Watch out, NIL. Here comes parity. And he was killed for that comment, which I can't believe, but it was, the rich are just going to get richer. Well,
that's what everybody thought. Yeah.
But look at this now. And look at who we have left.
He said that in 2019. NIL goes back that far now?
That's when he wrote the article.
That it was coming and it's going to eventually change everything?
Yeah. and you could have an Indiana. Well, Oregon's never won it. Indiana's never won it. Miami, it's been 24 years, whatever. And then you had Ole Miss since the 60s. So look at this Final Four, and I'll look at the possible championship and all the teams, you know, that made it in the playoff as well with this mix. So he nailed it. He absolutely nailed that take as well, that it's parity. Everyone can pay players. The talent's going to be spread out. Another good call.
Yeah. Wild West, completely open. And they are now turning into an afterthought. That comment was tongue-in-cheek. But I don't think this was. This was Paul Feinbaum before the season started back in August. Netflix Sports. And he went completely over his skis talking about the eventual winner this year.
The last question that I have for you, and it's really just to have it on record. Who's going to win the national championship, and is it going to be an SEC team?
It is. And by the way, if it's not, I'm leaving the country because I am so sick and tired of being harassed by Big Ten fans on our show. The Big Ten has literally done nothing. They won two national championships. Michigan won one 2 years ago. They won 1.5 national championships, I think, and before that in 70 years, and they act like they invented football. Alabama has won about 15 national championships in my lifetime. Now, I realize that's not a good comparison to a realistic lifespan, but I believe Texas is going to win. I didn't mean to avoid your question. It's going to end all this, and on January 20th, I'll be the happiest man in America because I won't have to listen to the Big Teners, or as my callers call them, the Little Teners.
Yeah, Texas, SEC blue blood, been there forever.
Yes.
Picking them to represent the conference all of a sudden.
Yeah, the good call. Yeah. And the Big Ten's going to get there again. They run the sport, Paul. You got to accept it.
Yep.
No more garbage now. No more gifted. All these teams in the playoffs. Saban's gone. It's over. And Big Ten runs things. And who knows? Who knows? The U is back, too. Watch out for Miami.
So I'm guessing he's already looking for real estate somewhere else, starting as of last night. He's going to move, right? He'll move out of the country after making that comment? Done deal like everybody does when they make that comment?
Or quit ESPN and do something politically.
I would also think this, too. This is speculation on my part. But there are people in, like, sports media, sports/political media, that found out that if they go so far extreme one way or the other, that, oh, my God, there's a huge sector of people in this country that will eat it up. And I can say the dumbest things I've ever said in my entire life, and I can't believe I'm not only going to get away with it, but I'm going to become super famous and probably be rich because of it. And that you find out that some of those people thought the exact opposite before they turned into this kind of person. Does Paul actually believe this with the SEC? Is he that big of like a homer/fan? Or does he do it because his show was spread throughout the entire South and he knows that that's the people that he's catering to?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, they're lunatics. It goes back to Harvey Updike. Yep. And I never heard of Paul Feinbaum till Harvey Updike.
Yeah, same.
And that's when the guy admitted to a crime over the air about he was so sick of Scam Newton. And he was a big Alabama fan. And then he went and poisoned the trees and he admitted it. They definitely will die. And he was a cop, by the way. that guy was a cop. But he poisoned the trees and it was, you know,
I just have never, the whole part to me that's bothered me more than anything else, and the whole thing does, but the fact that you're rooting for an entire conference, I will never get past that. And then people.
No, there's nothing like it in sports.
Yankees, anywhere.
Red Sox, Dodgers, Giants.
How about Bears, Packers playing tomorrow?
Sure, absolutely. Ohio State, Michigan, whatever. Let's go Big Ten. Well, come on, Buckeyes, get it done. Like a Michigan fan to say that? Come on.
It's perplexing.
It's fun. It's over. Yeah. It's fun. It's fun to see. It's been a disaster for him. Unmitigated disaster, really. And you would wonder what would happen if SEC didn't play SEC, which we had in a couple matchups here. So Dan Wetzel was right. Great job there. Big Ten runs things. We'll see. They're guaranteed to have a team in again. And good call, Mr. Saban. November 29th, Nick Saban on College Game Day. The team nobody wants to face. The most dangerous team, if they get in, is Miami because of the talent they have. Great call.
So you just did the read for Profit X. On the screen right now, they're showing Indiana 3-107.
We have news. Now Whittington is questionable. So you're down Davison, and now you could be looking at, you're calling in guys from the defense maybe to be third and fourth string running backs here. So this really becomes a Dante Moore game if they don't have him. He's going through some workouts right now, but he's questionable, and Davison is out, so who could run the ball for Oregon? Hmm.
There's also this, for what it's worth. Now, we saw it last night because it was heavily shaded towards one side, and that was the Ole Miss faithful. Like, they dwarfed the Miami fans. Tonight, all indications, yeah. Wes Reynolds is there. He tweeted out a video earlier. Wes is from right here at VEASAN. We talked to him yesterday. He went out of his way to go to an Oregon team hotel. I didn't see one Oregon fan. It was nothing but Indiana. And other people who are there, fans and media, are saying basically it's like 1 million to one, Indiana fans to Oregon fans. So it will be in the stadium tonight. It will be an Indiana home game, if that means anything to you. And now they are laying 3 as opposed to catching 7 when they were playing up at Autzen.
It should. I don't think it will be. If Indiana wins, it should be nothing but Miami fans. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You're in the national title for these people, and you got the game on your home turf.
No, I completely...
You cannot sell those tickets.
I completely disagree.
You think they will?
You want to talk about...
Indiana bidding war?
You just said once-in-a-lifetime. Indiana, again.
Oh, I don't think so.
They were the worst team in college football for 30 years. You want to talk about once in a lifetime, these people are going to be willing to pay whatever it takes. They never saw this coming. This was never, ever once on their radar.
He had them there last year. They'll be top 5 next year. They got Hoover coming in from TCU.
Never know
this
how it's going to go.
This guy is so good.
And oh, by the way, it's still Miami fans we're talking about.
Yeah, well, could come into a bidding war, too. You know, it's also an incredible job. I have to turn this around and the Nevin Shapiro mess and everything, but it's just, I mean, it's just a whole huge party. All the former Miami players will be there. It's going to be incredible.
Now, will a cameraman get fixated on Abella Danger if she's in the crowd again, like he did when they were playing Texas A&M? She was in the crowd, Miami fan. If you don't know who Abella Danger is, I would highly suggest you do not Google it because it will not go well, especially if you're at work or in front of your wife.
Spell it.
Spells out on its own. Abella. I will just say she's very talented. She knows what she's doing. But, no, I think that Indiana will have plenty of people there in the national title game. However, if it's Oregon, then I think you're on to something.
Okay.
So I told people specifically not to Google it, and here you have a big crowd of people in the sports book, and yet you're going to Google Abella Danger.
They can't see.
Yeah, they can see.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it okay? All right.
All right.
So any official bets for you on this game?
Longest touchdown under 49.5. No defensive or special teams touchdown. And I think Indiana wins.
Yeah, so do I.
For a lot of candidates for first touchdown. And how about our guy Jordan Scott, Mama's Pizza, who has Marion in most receiving yards of the semifinal games at 25-1.
Okay. But he had a buck.
I think he had a buck 30.
Okay.
So he's sitting in a great spot here if that ticket can cash. Someone's got to have a big game for one of these wide receivers tonight, or he hits.
Do you know what Fletcher was for most rushing?
Yeah, plus $1.30 was short. 2-1, plus 150 in that range.
Okay.
Yeah. That's just feed him, man. Feed him. I know Beck played well, but there's no reason to pass when you're pushing him off the ball like that.
Miami had more than 80 plays last night. 80!
Oh, if they would have lost, it was an all-timer. That should have been a comfortable win between... time of possession, silly penalties, 4 dropped interceptions, and you got Brandon Aubrey out there for Ole Miss, what he was doing. And, of course, Miami missed the field goal, and then they got the fluke interception.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll get to our best bets for the weekend. Wild card weekend, as it's upon us starting tomorrow. That's coming up next here on the program.
Children on these games. I was so good that whenever I bet, I could change the odds for every bookmaker in the country.
All right, let's rock and roll, baby. And a good tweet just came in from Earl Nelson. I've heard you guys mention a ton of stats and trends. No one has mentioned how about after you play the Jets, which is a 2-15 ATS this year. Fade the Bills. Another good reason to fade the Bills. Good point. Forgot about that one, Earl. Appreciate you. This one was tough to take last night. Goal in the first 10 in the Avalanche game. We lost by 11 seconds.
Aye.
But, no, it's worse. They scored 8 goals.
Yeah, that's right.
And won 8-2. So goal in the first 10, loser. Colorado now 16-2 run at home. Bears-Packers under 47.5. Steelers plus 3.5. 9 in a row for Houston. Teams coming in to the playoffs with a winning streak that long. 6-19 ATS in the playoffs since 2002. Carolina plus 10.5 to start. New England laying 3.5 for the game, 2.5 in the first half. Patriots 14-3 ATS this year, first half. 16-1-1 on the money line, 13-0-4 run. Last 14. All wild card teams to score a touchdown, plus 120. Shop it, better price at Caesars, Will Hill. Puka, 10-plus yards every quarter, plus 375. Houston, Pittsburgh, both teams 35-yard field goal, $1.50 at Caesars. Boswell over 1.5, minus 150. I'll put Fairbairn up Monday night. It's $2, 27-3 overrun. Chambliss, most passing yards in the semis, plus 120. Off to a good start. He was phenomenal last night. I think the kid can play at the next level. Ray Davis, anytime touchdown, 10-1. Doesn't look good for Johnson. Davis could get some carries. Davis had a big game against the Jets last week. Oregon, Indiana, longest touchdown under 39.5 yards. I think I said 41.5, misspoke earlier. Bears, Packers, longest field goal made under 49.5 yards. Talking about 35-mile-an-hour crosswinds here, folks. This is my favorite bet of the weekend. This is at Will Hill Caesars. Jags to make the longest field goal of the game. They just signed Matthew Wright in Buffalo. He might have to come out and kick their third, fourth different kicker. Oh, by the way, I got Cam Little, who's good, could be good from 70. $1.10. That's a three-way. Philadelphia's nasty, as they want to be, against tight ends. Kittle receiving yards under, but I think it's a big game for McCaffrey. Not what the guru said. I think McCaffrey has a lot of receiving yards and a ton of catches on Sunday. McCaffrey receiving yards over 41.5, 40.5. I think he's 40.5 again at DK to have like a $1.40, minus 140 juice. And I think Coker can have a good game for the Panthers. Number one, I think they'll be playing catch up. A lot of passes for Young. And I think he can have the game to get them going and not McMillan over 37.5. And I don't mind the Tremble stuff either. Tremble's low, 19.5. And then the touchdown business from what Kramer gave out as well. Good luck, everyone.
All right, back at Chipotle. 4-0 Wednesday turns into 0-3 last night. Marathon, not a sprint. That was not fun, however. If Ole Miss doesn't score that touchdown to go ahead, it was a sweat, then it turns into a real sweat, because then they're not going to pass the ball. They want to run the ball and get a first down or two with Fletcher, and then it's a winner, but it wasn't. And they had, again, more than 80 plays, and that game was so, like, entertaining to watch in the fourth quarter. And Beck was great, tip of the cap. The Hornets had no business covering 4.5. Pacers led the entire way until it turned into a Hornets 112-109 lead with less than 90 seconds. They never scored again.
Oh.
So not only did they not cover the 4.5, they also lost the game, so that two-team parlay with the Eagles was also no good. I want to have more nights like Wednesday night, not like last night. The pending Stafford MVP, Dart offensive rookie, Gobert defensive player of the year, 12-1, Packers money line, minus 115 against the Bears. Thought that number was going to go up. It is. We'll see what the result is like tomorrow night. New plays here. Nico Collins. These are smaller bets, pizza money, like 0.2 units, we'll call it. Most receiving yards, 12-1. That's the best number that you can get out there. And he against the Steelers, they have allowed the fifth most passing yards to wide receivers on the entire year. They've gone scorched the entire time, and Stroud loves throwing to this guy. Now, they're developing some of these other younger guys as well, turning into decent players, absolutely, in that passing game. But Collins is his guy, and the OptaAI stats at VSiN.com are projecting him for 78 yards, which would be close to the most, according to their projections, the entire week. But I think he's going to need like a buck 15, buck 20 to take it down. Also, we've talked about this a couple times on the show today. McCaffrey most rushing, 13-1, 0.2 units on that. There's an angle here where this is not a blowout, and the Eagles are not exactly scoring, you know, two touchdowns every quarter, and that means Purdy's going to throw the ball the entire time. If it's close, the way to beat Philadelphia is by running on them, because passing on them is not exactly easy. They're elite. Although Jalen Carter's back on defense as well, but I took 13-1 on him.
What am I missing on? Why is Parkinson that low?
I don't know.
Boy, that's bizarre.
That's my favorite prop of the weekend.
Yeah.
Over 19.5 receiving yards.
There's a prop at DraftKings, too, if you can find it. Will the Rams tight end have a touchdown? It's like $1.20. All four guys. You can have all four guys.
Yeah, he has cleared this number seven straight games. Now, I know, I get it, Davante Adams is back. Maybe that's why, but he turned into, even when Adams was there, like the third best, or I guess favorite target for Matthew Stafford. And the Panthers are 30th in DVOA against the position. Tonight in the, well, you know, a couple of other leader bets. Again, small bets here. McConkey's, for those of you in circus states, McConkey is 47-1 most receiving. Johnston for the Bolts, 65-1. I was looking at both those, earlier today. Then this happened earlier this hour. In a span of like 15 minutes, Will Hill said, look at McConkey. Ryan Kramer said, look at Johnson. Okay, I'll bet them both. Tonight in the NBA, Miles McBride. Second straight game, we're going to go to war with him, betting his three-point prop over. It's still plus money at plus 104 on over 2.5. He has cleared this number now in five straight games, getting more playing time, and he has taken nine or more threes in three of those games. So that's a good one. And have you realized how Peyton Watson has been on this tear now for Denver lately?
Oh, yeah.
If you want to play 20-plus points, that's a nice plus price on it. But his last five games, 24, 21, 23, 24, and 30 points, he's streaky. But over 16.5 was minus 105 earlier this morning. Had to play that. And I'm riding Michael Porter. Been so good at covering this number.
Good.
Over 31.5 points and rebounds tonight, minus 120. They get the clip joint.
Yep. Don't forget, each team to have a rushing touchdown, 100-1. Get that in, too.
I sprinkled a little bit on that.
Head in the new year with a smarter betting strategy powered by VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro and get instant access to everything you need to make informed bets every day. Sign up now and get every best bet, every host, every guest, the real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, the AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video, full show replays on the Watch app, expert picks, prop data throughout the NFL and college football playoffs. Get started today, just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. Start betting smarter today. VSiN.com/subscribe. VSiN.com/subscribe. There's each team to have a rushing touchdown Sunday only is 8-1.
Okay.
Each team to have a touchdown and a field goal, 10-1. I need more than that.
Yeah, me too.
Two touchdowns, 15-1. But in any event, great stuff up at Caesars, Will Hill, and DK and FanDuel with all the stuff here, with all these games with six of them. Good props. Good creativity.
Based on the odds on the screen right now for Wild Card Weekend, the biggest upset will be? I can't go Panthers. Although I haven't heard everybody's been so aggressive. They've either said there's no way the Rams lose, or they're absolutely going to win this game. Okay. All right.
The Steelers? The Steelers beat the Texans?
That's the one that I would come to as well. And we don't have a lot to pick from. There's only...
No, that's short, yeah, short stuff.
It's either that one, the Rams game, or the Eagles game, and I don't see the Niners winning the game. You were making a case for them earlier. So that'd be a much bigger surprise than the Steelers winning the game. So I think the chaos that everybody's expecting won't happen until next week, because these lines are so short, unless we get it off with a banger tomorrow. Started off that way with the Rams going down. You imagine my playoffs will be ruined if they lose the game. I will hide in the closet. I'm going to take off the Sunday morning tailgate show.
Samich mentioned this earlier about the playoff numbers, playoff leaders. If Jacksonville makes the run, Lawrence is 9-1. It's a good path. They get past the Bills. You go to New England, you already spanked Denver. It's a pretty good path.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
All right, that's it for us. Great job by everybody again behind the scenes today and this week. The Friday Football Invitational coming up next with Matt Eumanns. Stay tuned after that. Sports Gambling Podcast with Ryan Kramer and Sean Green. And oh, by the way, live betting tonight with the Peach Bowl.